Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store or Lowe's.com for more details.
It's just after 9 a.m. on August 27, 1896, in a cellar beneath the Sultan's Palace on Zanzibar, an island off the coast of East Africa. 21-year-old Sultan Khalid bin Barghash steadies himself against a stone wall as dust rains onto his embroidered silk robes. Thunderous blasts from outside shake the cellar. The palace above is being torn apart, and the Sultan's only thought is how to escape with his life. For decades, European powers have been engaged in the scramble for Africa, a race to carve up the continent and make it part of their empires. 6 years ago, Zanzibar was made a British protectorate, and its sultan became little more than a figurehead. But a few days ago, Khalid dared to stand up to the British, and now they've turned their guns against him. A royal guard hurries Khalid along a narrow passage, their path lit by a flickering torch. Khalid curses under his breath as his leather sandals splash through cold, stagnant puddles of water. Ahead, a small wooden door emerges from the gloom, and Khalid silently prays that British soldiers aren't waiting on the other side. The guard eases the door open and cautiously peers outside. After a tense moment, he signals that the way is clear, and Khalid climbs up the steep steps and into blinding sunlight. Ash and dust immediately fill his nostrils. Across the courtyard, past shredded palm trees, the palace is engulfed in flames. Clouds of black smoke billow into the sky as explosions one after the other rock the crumbling building. But there's no time for Khalid to mourn the destruction of his home. As shells continue to scream overhead, he dashes into the narrow streets of Zanzibar town, heading for the one place he thinks the British can't touch him. After reaching the heavy iron gates of the German consulate, Sultan Khalid bin Barghash will plead for asylum. The Germans will agree, placing Khalid beyond the reach of the British Empire. But by then, his kingdom will already be lost, and the defeat will go down as the shortest war in history, lasting only 38 minutes on August 27, 1896. Hello, History Daily listeners. The live show I've been telling you about for a few weeks has a new date, October 23rd at the Plaza Theater in Garland, Texas. This is my Days That Made America tour, a thrilling evening of history, storytelling, and music with me and a band live on stage. So if you're in the North Texas area or anywhere close, be sure to come out and see me live. More shows will be announced soon, too. So for information on tickets and upcoming dates, go to HistoryDailyLive.com. That's HistoryDailyLive.com. Come see my Days That Made America tour live on stage. Go to HistoryDailyLive.com.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
From Noiser and Airship, I'm Lindsey Graham, and this is History Daily. History is made every day. On this podcast, every day, we tell the true stories of the people and events that shaped our world. Today is August 27th, 1896, the shortest war in history. It's just before noon on August 25th, 1896, in the Sultan's Palace on Zanzibar, 2 days before the outbreak of war. Sweet-smelling incense hangs in the air of a candlelit chamber as Khalid bin Barghash kneels beside the bed of his dying cousin, the Sultan of Zanzibar. He whispers a final prayer as the old ruler exhales his last breath. All around the room, courtiers lower their heads in respectful silence. After a few moments, Khalid rises. He turns toward the anxious court officials gathered in the corner, his expression already hardening with resolve. His cousin's death is a tragedy, but it is also an opportunity. Khalid has spent years watching foreigners take over Zanzibar. Now he is determined to win his country back from the British Empire. For centuries, Zanzibar has been one of East Africa's most important trade hubs. Portugal and Oman had previously held sway over this tropical island and its notorious slave market. Now, Zanzibar is a vital stop for British merchant ships. But among Zanzibar's elite, Britain's influence has become increasingly unpopular. Since Britain declared the island a protectorate in 1890, the Sultan has ruled only with London's approval. Khalid learned that lesson when the throne last became vacant. Although a senior prince in the royal family, he was passed over because British officials deemed him too independent. But now the sudden death of his cousin presents Khalid with another chance to gain power, and this time he isn't going to wait for British permission. As courtiers wait anxiously, Khalid stands by his cousin's deathbed and proclaims himself the next sultan. He then moves quickly to secure his position, summoning the royal council to meet with him. But they've barely made a single decision before a messenger bursts in. Two British officials are at the front gates, here to pay their respects to the late sultan. Straightening his silk robes, Khalid jokes that they can pay their respects to the new sultan at the same time. So inside a marble reception hall, Khalid greets the British delegation. It's led by 30-year-old consul Basil Cave. Without hesitation, Khalid declares that he is now the Sultan of Zanzibar and his coronation will take place that very afternoon. Though caught off guard with this news, Basil quickly regains his composure. He warns Khalid that without approval from London, he is setting Zanzibar on the road to war. But Khalid ignores Basil's concerns and dismisses the British officials with a contemptuous wave. Then he sets about consolidating his rule on the island. He summons every royal guard to the palace, and within a few hours, more than 2,000 men have barricaded themselves inside its walls. But the palace has a weak point. It has an exposed waterfront, where the sea walls are low, and Khalid has just one vessel to guard the entire harbor, a modest royal yacht, the Glasgow. So to shore up the defenses, Khalid orders several antiquated cannons to be dragged into place along the waterfront. Seeing this activity, British consul Basil Cave sends a series of messages to Khalid, pleading with him to disperse his forces. At 3 p.m., Khalid responds in dramatic fashion. A 21-gun salute echoes across the town as he is formally crowned Sultan. Moments later, the crimson flag of Zanzibar's royal dynasty is raised over the palace. But just as Basil Cave warned, the British government is not impressed by this show of defiance. The next morning, HMS St. George steams into Zanzibar Harbor. It's a modern warship with powerful long-range guns, technology that far surpasses the Sultan's aging armory. So Khalid quickly gathers his counselors to discuss this new threat. Even so, he remains outwardly confident. He's sure that the British are just bluffing. Firing on the town would endanger the British population living there. And thinking that he's safe behind the palace walls, Khalid resolves to hold his ground. Hours pass. British women and children are evacuated to the safety of the consulate building. Merchant vessels weigh anchor and leave the harbor. Then as dusk nears, a final ultimatum arrives. Lower his flag and surrender the palace by 9 a.m. tomorrow, or the Royal Navy will open fire. Khalid ignores the message. But as the sun sets behind HMS St. George, an eerie quiet descends upon the streets of Zanzibar town. Worried residents barricade themselves in their homes. Even in the palace itself, Sultan Khalid begins to doubt whether he's made the right call. He still believes the British won't attack, but they will have to wait until the morning to discover whether the world's most powerful navy is truly prepared to bombard the ruler of a kingdom it has sworn to protect.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with: thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com.
Caps, where confidence begins.
It's 9:02 a.m. on August 27, 1896, in the waters off Zanzibar, 2 days after Sultan Khalid bin Bargash seized the throne. On the bridge of HMS St. George, 52-year-old Rear Admiral Harry Rawson raises his binoculars and focuses on the Sultan's palace. Royal guards stand on the walls, gazing back at the British warship. But Rawson's attention is fixed on a single patch of crimson. The Sultan's flag still flies high above the palace, and it should have come down minutes ago. Rawson lets out a deep breath. The deadline has passed, and Sultan Khalid has made his choice. He's not going to surrender. During his 4 decades in the Royal Navy, Admiral Rawson has sailed all over the world. A veteran of naval combat, he knows that diplomacy only works when backed with the credible threat of force. That makes him the perfect commander to execute London's latest directive to remove Sultan Khalid from the palace. 4 smaller British warships have by now arrived to support the St. George, and Rawson knows that on each ship, gun crews will be standing at their stations, faces gleaming with sweat, ready to begin the bombardment at his command. So turning to the captain of the St. George, Rawson gives the order to open fire. An earth-shaking roar echoes across the harbor. Flocks of birds wheel into the sky above Zanzibar town as the first shells slam into the palace. The defenses are no match for this British onslaught. Stone walls begin to crumble and collapse. Wooden structures are reduced to splintered timber, and a column of thick smoke rises into the sky. The Sultan's cannons answer with a few shots of their own, but they all fall harmlessly into water, hundreds of yards from the British ships. After this first salvo, Admiral Rawson raises his binoculars to gain a closer view of the damaged palace. But then the bridge jolts beneath his feet, and a sharp metallic clang echoes through the ship. He steadies himself, realizing to his amazement that the St. George has been hit. Looking across the harbor, he soon spots the source of the attack, the Sultan's yacht. There are several 9-pound cannons and a machine gun lashed to its deck, but they don't get another chance to fire. Rawson gives an order to his captain, and with an explosive volley, the guns of the St. George shatter the yacht's wooden hull. Within seconds, the Sultan's ship is sinking beneath the waves. But because that part of the harbor is shallow, it settles upright on the seabed, with its masts still above the water. Through his binoculars, Rawson watches its sailors wade through chest-high water, lowering the Sultan's crimson flag and running up a new standard in its place. The cloth unfurls on the tilting mast, and Rawson can see it's the British Union Jack, a token of surrender. As the Sultan's sailors struggle, Rawson then orders his ship to cease fire and dispatches launches to save those in the water. Rawson opens his pocket watch and checks the time. It's 9:40 a.m., in just 38 minutes, the British fleet has sunk the Sultan's only vessel and devastated his palace. Large sections of it are now little more than heaps of smoking rubble, and a fire rages in the Sultan's living quarters. The crimson flag has been blasted off its pole. But then news reaches Admiral Rawson that Khalid has fled the palace and sought refuge in the German consulate. This complicates matters. He can't easily pursue the Sultan there without risking a diplomatic incident with a major European rival. Still, Rawson has achieved his immediate objective. The Sultan has been deposed. So that afternoon, with Khalid out of the way, British officials proclaim a new ruler for Zanzibar. It's the candidate they had in mind all along, Khalid's more compliant cousin, Hamoud bin Mohammed. With a loyal ruler installed on the throne, the British hope to maintain their grip over the island. But the man who dared to stand up to them remains in the German consulate only a few hundred yards from the palace, and as long as he's there, he may be a figurehead for opposition to British rule. So the Crown decides to risk the diplomatic fallout and sends troops to surround the German consulate on Zanzibar. They can't force Khalid out, but they hope that eventually he will have no choice but to emerge. The Germans will refuse to give up Khalid, however. Instead, after a tense standoff, they will engineer an audacious escape for him, spiriting the defeated Sultan into exile and ensuring the man who fought history's shortest war will live to tell the tale.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss.
If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
It's the morning of October 2nd, 1896, at the German consulate in Zanzibar town, just over a month after the British bombardment of the Sultan's palace. Khalid bin Barghash creeps out of the consulate building, careful to stay out of sight of the British troops stationed beyond the compound walls. The consulate is right on the waterfront, and for weeks, Khalid has listened to the waves breaking on the seawall and heard the familiar sounds of harbor life. They sounded like freedom to him, freedom that was always just out of reach until today. Khalid climbs onto the rough stone wall dividing the consulate from the water. Waiting on the other side is a rowboat manned by sailors from the German Navy. The tide is high, and it's not a long drop from the wall to the boat. One of the sailors reaches up and clasps Khalid's forearm, steadying him as he steps down. By boarding a German vessel directly from the consulate grounds, Khalid technically remains in German territory and beyond the reach of the British authorities. So the sailors dip their oars into the turquoise water, and the rowboat pushes away from the wall. A German warship is waiting offshore. As soon as Khalid is aboard, it raises anchor and sails for the port of Dar es Salaam in German East Africa. There, the deposed Sultan is granted asylum and a life under German protection. But the British will never forget the ruler who defied them. 2 decades later, during World War I, British forces will capture Dar es Salaam from the Germans, forcing Khalid to flee them once again. But this time, he won't be able to escape. He will be taken into British custody and sent into exile, first to a remote island in the South Atlantic, then to the Seychelles in the Indian Ocean. Eventually, Khalid will renounce his claim to the throne of Zanzibar, and the British government will allow him to live freely in Kenya. There, Khalid will spend the rest of his days on the coast, almost within sight of his native Zanzibar. But the two-day Sultan will never set foot in his former kingdom again, after the shortest war in history ended his reign in less than an hour on August 27, 1896. Next on History Daily, August 28, 1973. Following a bank raid in Sweden, a 5-day hostage crisis gives rise to the term Stockholm Syndrome. From Noiser and Airship, this is History Daily, hosted, edited, and executive produced by me, Lindsey Graham. Audio editing by Mohammed Shazi. Sound design by Molly Bogg. Music by Throne. This episode is written and researched by Angus Gavin McCarr. Edited by Scott Reeves. Managing producer Emily Burke. Executive producers are William Simpson for Airship and Pascal Hughes for Noiser.
Ever thought about Botox but worried you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.